It looks desolate up there. It looks deserty. If you're out there alone, it looks lonely, very lonely. The night's dark, a little bit afraid, a little bit concerned. Where do you lie down and sleep? What if you haven't eaten for a day? What if you haven't eaten for 40 days? You just wander? Do you walk? Do you commune with God? Are you angry at God for putting you in this wasteland, this wilderness, this desert? Are you frustrated by your own limits, your own desires to not be in this wasteland, to not be in this desert? Are you angry at yourself? Or maybe you did some bad things that found you in the desert. Do you forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself for finding yourself in the desert, in the wilderness? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended to him. I should have said, that's Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. If you want to read it later, Matthew 4. Then the angels left him. The wilderness can be a very desolate place, a very dark place, very hot place, challenging. The wilderness can be internally challenging. And often they say that when you're stuck in a desert, it's the mind games you play with yourself that are the biggest challenge. Is that what you really see down there, or is that a mirage? Is it worth going because there might be some water or food down there, or just stay here because you don't believe your mind anymore? These are the things we see in our wildernesses. These are the things that happen to us when we are in the wilderness. Luke 4, Jesus. This is the other version. Jesus, full of the Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Stop. The season of Lent derives its structure and its themes, as Pastor Mark already said, from Christ's 40 days in the wilderness where he fasted and he prayed and he faced Satan's temptations. Jesus had experienced God's public affirmation of his true identity. Remember when he was baptized in the Jordan? At his baptism with the loud voice that spoke from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." It was God's voice from heaven declaring this over his Son, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus goes off to the wilderness. Goes off to the desert place. Right after baptism. By the way, here's a freebie. For those of you who are baptized or get baptized, often after you get baptized, there's a wilderness patch. There's a desert patch. Could be like, is this all there is? I'm not even any better. Or it could be Satan coming to you like he did to Jesus and poking you and harassing you. And making you doubt your commitment and what went on there between you and God. Anyway, that's a freebie. That's not where I'm preaching today. But indeed, Christ was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit as part of the ministry preparation that was ahead of him. And there in the wilderness, he faced the temptations of the human experience, the deepest temptations, the temptation to trust in that which is not God. For security, for survival, for affirmation, for approval, for control. Those were the tests Jesus was facing in that desert place. These temptations are basic to every human being. Every one of us in this room face those sorts of temptations. So there is something here for each of us. It's for all of us. They are the temptations that we as human beings often try to face in our own strength. Yet if we face temptation from the enemy with success, it won't be because of our own ability or our own strength. In our own lives, we experience the evil one's proficiency at shaping subtle and dangerous appeals made just for us. There's tests out there that are made just for how you are made, for your values and your priorities. Satan comes at you because he knows some of those things. And in our own lives, we experience the evil one's just proficiency at making things that will just test us and tempt us. Temptations are shaped exactly and uniquely for each one of us. The appeal is to our desire to save ourselves, to act from a position of strength and power rather than trusting God for what we need. This journey through Lent asks that we take a good look at ourselves and our lives and see with clear eyes the temptations that we face. Because we all face them, right? We all face them. Where is it that we are tempted? Tempted to use maybe the gifts that God's given us, maybe the power that God has given to us. Where are we tested to use those gifts to secure our own survival, to settle our own business ourselves in our own strength? Where do we put God to the test by making poor decisions and expecting him to come to the rescue? Where and when am I tempted to worship the outward trappings of success rather than seeking the inner relationship with God that comes with worshiping and serving him only? How is that being tested in me these days? How is that being tested in me? How am I in the wilderness? I want you to ask that question. Because there's a lot of wilderness stories being written in this congregation and in the broader community these days. I am well aware and I'm praying for y'all. There's wilderness stories that are happening where it feels maybe like you're deserted. Maybe it's a wilderness or it's hot or it's unbearable, but it's just wilderness. And maybe even emotionally or mentally we play games with ourselves. But it still is wilderness, and we find ourselves lost in a wilderness. Could be of our own making. It needn't be. Could be of Satan's testing. Could be of God's allowing us to be in. We identify, and I've already done that this morning, that the wilderness is a harsh place. But it can also be a place where we find clarity and we discover inner strength. It's a place where we can experience salvation in ways we never would when life is simple. Do you hear that? Let me say that again. The wilderness is a place where we can experience salvation in ways we never would when life was simple and easy. There's stuff to learn in that wilderness, that dry, deserted place that you will never learn anywhere else. You see, it's also a place of testing for us. It's also a place of testing what we are, right? Who we trust. It's a place of testing who we call out to when we're broken, when it feels like desert all around us, when it feels like we're in the wilderness, when we feel like our children are being lost or that they're struggling, and the wilderness is great for us, when we see mom and dad struggling, or when we feel or hear friends from a distance hurting. And the wilderness makes us go, why, God, why? It's only in the place of testing like that where we can learn some things, where we can discover some things, and where we can experience salvation. It's like the testing of fire. So many places in Scripture talk of fire in a good way, that fire is actually helpful for the follower of Christ. Isaiah. And it's helpful because it refines us, it purifies us. Isaiah 48, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. Affliction is a furnace, can be a furnace, can be a furnace. Psalm 66, for you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Oh, man. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. Man, what a story. That's Psalm 66, 10 to 12. Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters. Now the metaphor is mixing. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Wow. And then finally, Job 23. It's kind of my favorite. Job, at the end of his tether, at the end of his rope, he's done all the cliche things like tied a knot and hanging on for dear life. He says this, but he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Wow. The place of testing can be a good place for followers of Jesus Christ. It burns away the stuff that isn't God. You see that? In our businesses, in our marriages, in our hearts. It burns away the stuff that isn't God. We should be blessed and pleased that there are testings on this earth to see who and what we are really made of. Because honestly, I don't want the testings, and I don't want the trials, and I don't want the burning away of the dross. But man, who would I be if I didn't have those things to show me who I am? Who would I be, and how would I trust myself? Would I trust my motives? Who would I be? Who would we be without them to show us who we are? The wilderness might look harsh, and it might look uninviting. But it might be exactly what you need for God to help remove some of the stuff that needs to be removed. Needs to take out some of the stuff that shouldn't be there. The wilderness might be exactly the place you need to be this Lenten season. And I don't know all your personal wildernesses or the mind games that you play in your own wildernesses. I have my own wildernesses and my mind games that I play. Right? But sometimes being in the wilderness is okay. It's all right. We learn who we are. We learn who we trust. We learn who we call out to, right? It can be okay out there. Fasting was Christ's way, his response to the testing and the temptation. Using Scripture was his way of dealing with the temptations and the trials that he experienced in the wilderness. Fasting might be one of the things that we should address in our lives. Maybe we should lay down something we're tempted with. Maybe we know what levers Satan's going to pull in us. And maybe we should consider laying those things aside for a season or period. Fasting from them. But it's in the fasting and it's in that testing place that we discover clarity and we discover inner strength that comes from God in us. Motivations are tested. And some of our motivations fail, and some are strengthened. It can be an experience of the salvation of the Lord in a daily way, that God would take us through the day without the things that we thought we needed to live. Could be food, could be some other things. You can make up your own list in your own head. Might be good to give up some things so that we can show that we don't depend on those things. We depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every good thing. And we can walk with God. And we can talk with him and pray and focus on what is important in our lives. The temptations are there. And we really want to quit with them time and time again. It can get lonely. Yet there is strength for the day and rest for the night. Connection and dependency on Christ grows as we walk like that, hand in hand with him. And the stuff that isn't God is burned away. The stuff that messes with our motivations can be burned away if we will offer it up to Christ. These desert places, these wildernesses can be good for us. They can be places of life. So, as we sit on the edge of another Lenten season, let me ask, in what ways am I trusting something other than God for security and my survival, or the survival of my family? In what ways am I trusting something other than God for affirmation, right? Affirmation, my identity, approval, power, control over my life. In what ways am I trusting something else other than God for security, survival, affirmation, approval, power, control in my life? During this Lenten season, how will you see your own wilderness? How will you see the wilderness you might be in already right now? How will you see it? To maybe create some more space for solitude and stillness for the purpose of just waiting on God and experiencing his steadfast love as our true salvation. Christ, who is our human example. Christ, who endured. That's what he did. He walked and talked with the Father. And it's not a law. It's not a command that we have heard from God to do as Christ did in this respect. But it is an invitation to set aside those things that we submit to place them in second or third place, to show that God is our number one. Maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe that's all I would offer for you this Lenten season, for any of us. If we can go through Lent realizing the things that we put in our lives that we'll draw strength from, or identity, or power, or security from, maybe we can poke those things a bit. Burst a few bubbles, burst a few balloons. It's an invitation to set aside those things that we submit to place them, take them and place them in second, third, fourth, or get rid of them altogether, to show that God is our number one. So don't, even in my own stories, even in my own experience, hear me telling you that you must fast or you must do these things. If the Spirit is inviting you to more, heed the call of the Spirit. Listen to what the invitation is for you. Maybe clear the horizon of your stuff for a while. Just clear the horizon so that you can just be the beloved. So that you can just be the one loved of God. The desert, the wilderness can be a gift to you. If you're in a wilderness, it can be a gift. Offer it up to God. I want to close with this poem. How will you walk these days? And ask the Lord to put it in the bulletin so it's there for you and you can take it home with you. How will you walk these days? It's a poem by Ruth Burgess, Bread of Tomorrow. The desert waits. It's ready for those who come obedient to the Spirit's leading, or who are driven here, because they will not come in any other way. The desert awaits. The desert awaits, ready to let us know who we are. It's a place of self-discovery. And whilst we fear, and rightly, the loneliness, the emptiness, the harshness, we forget the angels, whom we cannot see for our blindness, but who come when God decides that we need their help, when we are ready for what they can give to us. Let's pray. Father, there's lessons to be learned in the wildernesses of life. Great lessons sometimes. And so sometimes we're in a wilderness of our own making. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit who has called us to the wilderness because we're not going to go ourselves. Sometimes we've been set up and the wilderness that we find ourselves in, we would never choose to go to if it was the Holy Spirit calling us or not. But we're here in the wilderness. Help us, beloved God, to understand where we are, to look at the things that we want, to get out of the wilderness. Test us, test our lives, and test our motivations and our desires as we are in the wilderness. Help us to cling to you for every good gift, every life-giving gift that comes. Oh, beloved Father, be with us in the wilderness as we go into these next days. Pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.